book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, the entrance of your word, it gives what? Light. Amen. We're not talking about electrical light. But again, if you've ever experienced a blackout, yeah, anybody ever experienced a blackout, like no electricity for one day or two? When I was growing up in Nigeria, that was frequent. You can't plan with it. Yeah? When there's a blackout, yeah, many things stop working. And you can't see if it's the night. Yeah? But I'm not talking about that type of blackout. I'm talking about a spiritual blackout. Or it's called spiritual darkness. You can be physically seeing, but spiritually what? Blind. And the spirit realm is higher than the physical realm. Do you know why? Because everything physical was created by what? The spiritual. What you see is not as powerful as what you can see. What you see is what? Someone say, I believe in what I see. If I can see it, then it's real. You can't see nuclear radiation. You don't want to see it either. What you can see is more powerful than what you can see. So say, oh, you know, if you see the dinosaurs. Well, nobody ever saw a real dinosaur. They only saw the bones. Anything you see is modeled. Yeah? You see, the radio, so big, so powerful. Have you ever seen T-Rex? You're T-Rex. Yeah. But the animals, well, my son told me they no longer call animals. They are different groups now. It's no longer plant and animals. So many groups in biology now. But the living things that cause you the greatest harm are not the ones you can see. It's not the dinosaur, or the lion, or the tiger. They are microorganisms that you can't what? You can't see. So what you can see can be much more powerful than what you can see. And the spirit realm is higher than the physical realm. That's why man is not just a body. Man is a spirit who has a soul and lives what? In a body. Amen. Your mind lives in your head, but your mind is not your brain. You see, but the brain is just a physical organ that helps your mind to work. But your mind is a software inside the hardware called the brain. Amen? You get it? Your mind is eternal. It's just been accommodated inside your brain now. But even when the brain is over, that soul continues to exist. It's who you are. Amen? Your mind, your emotions, they are all eternal parts of you. Your spirit. Amen? So when the word of God comes into you, when it comes to your spirit and your mind, it brings what? It gives you light. You need light if ever you overcome the darkness. And there is darkness in this world. I always preach, I said, whether you like it or not. Whether you're the most perfect gentleman or the most beautiful lady. So I won't say perfect lady, I'll say beautiful. Do you like to hear beautiful? You're minding your business. You're obeying the laws of the country. You're not looking for trouble. But there's darkness. And the darkness is always trying to invade you. The darkness always trying what? To invade you. That's where you need what? You need light. If ever you will overcome the darkness, you need what? You need light. And it's not physical light. It's spiritual light. And the entrance of the word of God into your heart and your spirit gives you a light. There was some things I used to struggle with in the past. But now I'm no longer struggling with them because I have what? I have light. I still see them, they present, but they don't attract me because I have light. The light is empowering. Amen? The light is what? It's empowering. Sometimes the devil will come to you with something that looks nice. He has packaged it. The package is nice. Nicely perfumed. Yeah? Good wrapping paper. It looks tantalizing. But if you have light, you can see through the outer layer and see the poison inside the package. But you can't if you don't have light. That's why you need light. Say with me, say, I need light. And that's what the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1. It says, in him, John chapter 1 verse 4, it says, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. We're talking of Jesus. Yeah? And that light shines in the darkness. And what happens? The darkness cannot overcome it. Now someone told me, that's John chapter 1 verse 4. Someone told me, it's like, oh, but I'm a Christian. I'm born again. How come the darkness is still overcoming me in this part of my life? It is because the light is not what? Shining. You know, it's like you have a lamp, then you put it under your bed. Darkness will still dominate the room. For the darkness to be disbanded, the light has to be put in a prominent place. Be allowed to what? To shine. Then the darkness will fade. Amen. Say, I need to walk in the light. Hallelujah. When you're walking in the light, darkness will not overcome you. But while we're there, let me ask a question. What is darkness? The title of today's sermon again is called to be spiritual. That's where the victory is. Amen. The victory is not just in the physical. Your brain, your strength, your might, your experience, your connections, they can all fail you at any time. At any time. Amen. At any time. The victory is in the higher layer. Because on the higher layer, you can bring down power to overcome the lower layer. Amen. There is nothing happening in the physical that cannot be changed from the higher layer. If only you know how to operate the principles of the higher layer. And we're not talking about the power of the devil here. We're not talking about magic here. God is not a magician. Because magic is the art of deception. What is magic? The art of deception. God is not a magician. God will give you truth. And the truth will what? It will set you free. Amen. So what is darkness? Can you give me some examples of darkness? We talk about spiritual darkness. I know you understand physical darkness. But spiritual darkness. Any examples? Are there some things you will see that say, oh, this is spiritual darkness? Yes? Come on, church. We can have up to a list of 20. Yes? Who will be the first? Example of spiritual darkness? When you see this showing up in your life, say, oh, this is evidence of spiritual dark, or this is a product. Yes, come on, church. We are all there. Yes. Did you want to go? Yes, thank you. Sorry?
Disease.
Yes, disease. Because there's no disease in heaven. Can you imagine? You're in the presence of God. Can there be disease? I said, was Jesus ever sick one day? No, except once on the cross. On the cross, he became sick with all our sicknesses. He took it in one moment for us all. But all through his life, he was never sick. Amen? So sickness is evident that something is broken somewhere. And it's not from God. Because God is perfect. God is, he doesn't have any sickness to give you. Because there's none in him. Amen? It's a result of the broken world. Yeah? We are all born into a broken world. Our flesh is imperfect. is subject to weakness. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 8. Let's just explore that. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. You can do New King James Version or New Living Translation. Come on, church. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Yes. Tell us which version, please. Okay, New King James, Romans 8, 10. Go on, please. Read it.
And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Okay. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Okay, another version. Another version. I can take more versions. Yes. Romans 8:10. Tell us which version.
NLT.
NLT. New Living. Go on, please.
And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God.
Amen. And one more. One more. Romans 8:10. Yes. Yes, I can take it.
But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, spirit is life because of righteousness.
Amen. I like that. I don't like NLT in this case. I think it's misinterpreted it. If Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is alive because of what? Of righteousness. Let me explain. Now, we are all here. We are seated here. Is your body dead? So what is it talking about? It's talking about the body being dead because of sin. What does that mean? When you say the body is dead because of sin, what does that mean? Come on, church. Help. Just try to apply it. See your practical experience. What is the Bible talking about? The body being dead because of sin. Because of course you know that your body is alive. Yes, so what does that mean? Yes.
Is it meaning that because your body is flesh, you're dying to flesh and your spirit's not overcoming because your flesh man is
okay? I can see the attempt there. Let me start from New Living, by the way. New Living is not totally wrong. I just say I didn't like it. It's clear that the body will die. Except you are raptured like me. Amen? Yeah? The body, the moment a child is born, you signed up for one day that the body will shut down. It's a reality of this world. A world is coming when the body will not die anymore. Amen. You know, at the resurrection or at the rapture, we will receive new bodies. They will not be subject to what? To death. I just want to explain that. Every brokenness in our body, yeah, is a foretaste of death. Sickness, disease, weakness, disability, all of them are foretaste of what? Of death. Because God told Adam and Eve, he said, the day you eat of this fruit, you what? You surely die. So what happened when he had, he died spiritually and then became subject to physical death. So the body is dead because of sin, still refers to that original sin. The body is death doomed. It's mortal. When you say something is mortal, it can die. It can be broken. So the way you interpret that, the body is mortal because of sin. If there was no sin, there would be no disease or sickness or weakness or brokenness. God did not create mankind to die. But sin brought it in. Not just your sin. The sin of our common ancestor, Adam and Eve. Amen? Once he ate and disobeyed God, he opened the door to the devil. And while we're there, let me just explain that. I was explaining this at the own fellowship. You know, we read the Bible verse and said, bring all the tithes and whatever. And said, you know, can a man rob God? You are robbing me because of tithes and offerings. And you are cursed with the curse. I'm trying to explain because I know that people get very sensitive when people preach on that. Every time you disobey God in any part of your life, you are opening a door to the devil. See, the devil is a thief. He doesn't have a right. You know, your body is a temple. Devil doesn't have a right in that temple because it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. But the condition of that temple is that you obey God, you follow God, you listen, you obey. Yeah, it's like you lock your door at night. But every time you walk away from what God is saying and go and do your own thing, you are opening a door to the devil. And that is the basis of the curse. The curse is the devil having his way in your life. Hello? Anytime the devil has his way in your life, it's not a blessing. Is it a blessing for the devil to have his way in your life? No. Because he has nothing good to give you. Does he have anything good to give? No. So what we want to do is kick the devil out. And I always say to believers, I said, you know, thank God that Jesus went to the cross. Because you are not perfect. I'm not perfect. We make mistakes. You know why you make mistakes? You are still in the flesh. And the flesh is weak. The flesh is what? It can be tempted. Someone say, someone told you, I said, I can never be, they say, oh, now I've become so spiritual. I can never be tempted again. You know that they lost it. So long you are in this world, you can what? Some temptations may not catch you fast. But there are others that will catch you quick. Okay? So that was said, when you sin, when you done wrong, thank God Jesus went to the cross. You just run back to God and say, Father God, I'm sorry. I missed it. Forgive me. Amen. The Bible says when we do that, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's not going to say, you know what? Just go and wait there for another 1 week. Immediately, so long your repentance is genuine, your forgiveness, yeah, is also genuine. So, but the danger is when you don't repent and say, you know what? It doesn't matter. So when you're doing something wrong and you say it doesn't matter, you're opening a door. Can you say? Say, I refuse to open a door for the devil. That's wisdom. Amen? That's wisdom. I refuse. It's wisdom. I refuse. And when I've missed it, I'm getting straight back to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive. Cleanse me. Amen? So we can keep the devil away. So he said, if Christ is in you, the fact that Jesus is in you, how does Jesus come into you? You have received. You understand that you can never save yourself. You can never be a good man without Christ. You only try. But inside you is selfishness and pride. No matter how hard you try, you have pride and selfishness in you. You inherited it from birth. Only Jesus can set you free from your pride and your selfishness. So if you've made him your Lord and your Savior, now you have him in you. He said, although your body is mortal, it's death doom. All the sickness, all the weakness you experience, yeah, is because the body is what? It's mortal. Even your emotions that go wrong is because the body is mortal. When at the resurrection, when you receive a new body, you will not experience those things ever again. Ever. It'll go forever. Amen? No sickness, no disease, no dirt. Let's go. Revelation. Go open your Bible to the book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. The book of Revelation, it tells us how it will be at the end. You see, God tells us the end, even from the beginning. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 21, and we are reading verse 3 and 4. Revelation 21, verse 3 and 4. Yes, who has my mic? Thank you. I'll get to you. Who has my... Thank you. Revelation 21 is the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And by the way, it's not Revelations. It's one revelation. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 and 4. Please read. Read in your Bible. Tell us which version.
I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.
And verse 5. Verse 5. You can read verse 5.
And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true."
Amen. You can hold it for now. When you have a new body. But that doesn't belong to everybody. That belongs to those who believe in Christ. Because the benefit of having a new body is only in Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only man that died and rose again and never died again. Amen. He rose from the dead with a new body. That's why when he was living, he wasn't buried. He ascended. And Jesus is alive today. And he's coming back. And for those who believe in him, they will receive a new body. There will be no more pain. No more disease. No more sickness. No more sorrow. I'm telling you the emotional part. No more sorrow. And no more crying. Amen. Everything will be what? New. As God made it in the beginning. That's a blessed hope, isn't it? It's something to look forward to. Hallelujah. Some people say, you know what? There's no life after death. When you die, it's over. But the same people talk about people who have died being angels. You know, you use the term, oh, it's a little angel in the sky, you know. And that's contradictory. This song, if there's no life after death, then there's no angel. There's no little angel anywhere. Amen? But the reason why it happens like that is because they know, just by default in their spirit, that soul, yeah, is more than the body. Amen? There's something spiritual in you. You are made like that. Amen? You can't run away from it. Even if you say there's no God, your spirituality is still in you. Whether you like it or not. That's why you don't want to die. Because spirits are made to live forever. A spirit can never die. A spirit can never die. Only bodies can die. A spirit can never die. It only changes location. Amen? So come back to what we're saying. When you have the light, when you're in Christ, although your body is mortal, the spirit gives you what? Life. There's life in your spirit. Say, there's life. If you are born again, if you're a child of God, if you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have received life, spiritual life, inside your spirit. Though there is mortality in your body, but there is life in your spirit. Are you with me? Now, what we need to do then is know how to transfer the life in your spirit into what? In your body. Because you need that body to function on the earth. So I need my body. Say, my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I tell you, that is so empowering for you to enter that revelation. Because if my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, it means that the Holy Spirit lives in me. If the Holy Spirit lives in me, then he must give life to my mortal body. I need the strength. I need the health. Amen? I need the strength. I don't know about you, but I need the strength. And I need their health. Well, it's only a butterfly. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking for some other evidences of darkness. Yes? I'll take you to the master list, but what are other evidences of darkness? Disease? Yes, come on. Spiritual darkness. What are the evidences? If you see, like, oh, this is darkness. Sorry? Yes, just your life is on a standstill. Nothing is working. Nothing is moving forward. You know, it's like everything is upside down. You know that. That's not God's work. The devil. Yes, more? There's so many. We are surrounded by them daily.
Addictions.
Addiction. It's a form of, it's bondage. You know? You start out doing something, you think it's fun, but now it overpowers you and you can't help it. You're not free anymore. You started out trying to be free, but now you're in bondage to your freedom. That's darkness. You can no longer live a purposeful life because you're under the dominion of this addiction. It's darkness. Yes, more. There's more. Yes, more.
Distraction.
You cannot focus. It's something called attention deficiency. It's both ways. Someone say, oh, you know, attention deficiency where you are hyper focusing. You only focus on one thing. This key. Is there any screw? And then 2 hours. You know, that's one angle. Or the other part whereby you cannot concentrate on anything. Yeah? They are all evidence of that. It's not that you want to, it's just that you can't help it. Yes, more?
Lost.
What is lost? Yes. Can someone give me a good definition of lost? What is lost? When you say lost, what is lost?
Overwhelming desire for something?
Overwhelming desire for something, but again, desire can be good or bad. Obviously, lost sounds bad. So what's it? Anybody give me a good definition of lost? What do you call lost? But it's correct what you said. It's very, as in the simplest sense, overwhelming desire. But you can have an overwhelming desire for something that is good and that you're pursuing the proper way. Then we'll not call it lost. But yes, overwhelming desire, yes?
So, prioritize more than God to things.
Yes, overwhelming desire that discounts God's opinion. Yes?
Immoral,
overwhelming desire. I would just call lust a wrong desire. When you have a wrong desire, it's lust. Lust is having a desire for something you do not have a right to. Yeah? You know, like if you have a t-shirt, yeah, and it's yours. So you have the desire to wear it. It's not lost, it's yours. But if it's his t-shirt you want, but it's not yours, but you really want it, then it's what? It's lost. So a desire to have what is not yours, or a desire to have what you are not allowed to, or a desire to have what will harm you, a strong desire to have what will harm you or destroy you, is what? It's lost. Now you can no longer see clearly. Obviously, lost has an appeal. There's something in it that feels good. Yeah? That's why you're going for it. But you're not seeing the harm it can cause. Can you see? And it's darkness. Because now you're out of control. Anything that takes you out of control is what? It's darkness. Any other one? Relationships. When relationships start breaking down and they're upside down, it's darkness. Because God created you for good relationships. You know? So, but the devil hates good relationships. He hates it. He fights it. So there's so much darkness around. Not every darkness in your life is your fault. There's darkness around you. Someone say, you know, like, to have darkness, yeah, in your room, you don't need to make any effort. Just turn up the light. What do you have? It seeps in naturally. Amen. But to have light, you need to do something. For light to dominate you, it needs your active cooperation. For darkness to dominate you, you don't need to do anything. Do nothing. And all you're going to get is what? Darkness. Follow the flow of what anybody is doing. What you're going to get eventually is what? It's darkness. But as you begin to yield yourself to the word of God and to the spirit of God, light begins to invade and dominate you. Amen? Have you ever realized that electricity is not free? Somebody paid for it. It's like all my sons, they just switch the light on and they walk away. And I've been doing that for years. I was like, after a while, I just said, you know what? When you start paying, then it's up to you. You know, when I visit you, I'll put it on. Yeah. You have a return leg. Yeah. See what you do. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's go to Galatians chapter 5. I'll just show you a list of darkness. And I'll show you also a list of light. So I'll show you when darkness dominates someone, I'll show you the things you see. And then when the light comes in, I'll also show you what you see. And you can see the sharp contrast between darkness and light. They are just the opposite of each other. Galatians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 19. To 21 first. So this is darkness. Galatians 5, 19 to 21. Now remember that darkness is a product of the flesh. The mortal body. The one that is death doomed. The one that is weak. The one that is subject to weakness. Yeah? And so when you release yourself to the weakness of your flesh, you begin to produce the works of darkness. But thank God, you are not just flesh. Say with me, I'm not just flesh. Say there may be weakness in my flesh, but there's life in my spirit. Hallelujah! And that's where the victory is. The victory is in the spirit. I'm not talking about just spiritual force. I'm talking about your spirit. You are a spirit. That's why you can understand spiritual things. You are what? A spirit. And that's where your victory is. That's where you have the life and the light. And that's why you are called to be spiritual. You can be born again, but you have to choose, am I going to follow the flesh where there's weakness? Or am I going to follow what? The spirit. If you follow the flesh, you will die. He's not talking about physical death. You're already alive. He's talking about spiritually, you lose the benefits. But if you walk in the spirit, yeah, you will overcome the darkness. Every day of your life, the darkness is competing with you. You don't have to do anything about it. It's all around you. And that's why you have to walk in the light. And when you're walking in that light, the darkness may show up, but it cannot. It what? It can. It's not a matter of it will not or it should not. It can. If you are walking in the light, the darkness cannot. It will show up, but it cannot. The devil showed up to Jesus. The devil what? If a problem shows up in your life or a challenge, it doesn't mean that God has left you. Amen? It doesn't mean that you're in a scenario or in a problem or something that's not working. It does not mean God has left you. The devil showed up to Jesus and tried to bring him down. But Jesus resisted him with the light he had in him. Amen? And the Bible says when the devil left him, he didn't leave him forever. He left him for a season. That means that he's coming back again. But every time the devil shows up, he had the response, which is the light of God, the word of God, the spirit of God. Every day of your life until you leave this world, yeah? You have to deal with some darkness. But if you have the light, which comes from the word and the spirit, the darkness cannot, I did not say shall not or may not, cannot. Darkness cannot overcome light that shines. Never. It can't. The only time the darkness can overcome light is when that light is not shining, when it is hidden. But if it's shining, it cannot. So what's happening that many Christians, they are not walking in the light. They know the word, but they are not walking in it. They are not obeying it. They are not doing what God has told them to do. They may cry, they may moan, but they are not walking in the light. And that's why the darkness has its way. Galatians 5, 19 to 20. Let me see how we're doing with time. Yeah, I think in another 10 minutes, we'll round up. Galatians 5, 19, 20. Yes, we'd like to read it. Galatians 5, 19, 20. Have you read? Let me, someone else who has not read. Yes. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 20. Now, I want to show you darkness, or the product of darkness. When there's darkness in someone's life, what are the things you see in that life? Go on, please.
Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery,
Do you want to help him? Help him for time's sake.
Now the works of flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sexuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and other things like that. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Amen. You can stop there. Just stay with it. I will come back to you. So when darkness is dominating, you can see everything is upside down. That includes strife, fightings, selfish ambition. I told you about this selfishness business. It's a problem of human being. Pride. Yeah? Selfish ambition. Immoralities. Being out of control. Yeah? Addictions. Profanities. They are all evidence of what? Darkness. You see, all these things come because there's no the spirit, the life in the spirit. Love and joy and peace. Faith and hope and love is not dominating that spirit. So the body, the flesh just does its own thing. Yeah? Because the flesh just wants to feel good. And it doesn't care. Yeah? Now read the contrast. When light begins to dominate you. I know you're a child of God. But there's a fight between your body, which is mortal, and your spirit, which is alive. That's where the battle is. The question is, who is going to win this battle? If the spirit is winning, light will be dominating the darkness. But if the body or the flesh is winning, the darkness will be dominating. Yes, Galatians 5, 22. Yes, please. And 23.
But the fruit of the spirit,
is love,
joy,
peace,
patience,
kindness,
goodness,
faithfulness,
gentleness,
self-control.
Against such things, there is no law.
There's no law. Have you ever had any good country with the good laws? If you are working for those, there's no law that can be against them. Because that is the desire of every, that's what you want. That's all you've ever wanted in your life. You want love. Don't you want love? Anybody, you don't want love. Love? You want joy. Anybody does, you don't want joy. Joy? Anybody that doesn't like joy, you don't like joy. You just like it when there's confusion and commotion. When there's joy, you're just so angry. How can everybody just be joyful? You know there's someone like that that doesn't want joy. It's called the devil. That's why, like, if you have a joyful life and a joyful relationship, you need to guard it. Because there's someone out there who doesn't like it. He's your adversary, the devil. Peace. Anybody who doesn't like peace? I mean, do you like peace? Peace. I always say to people, I say, you know what? You can't have joy if you don't have peace. You can have happiness. You know, you can buy a nice ice cream and there we go. It make you happy for the moment. Yeah? Many times, before people get into addiction, they are looking for happiness. They are looking for something to make them happy or give them a kick. It's the pursuit of happiness that lands many people in what? Addiction. But what God gives you is not just happiness. Because happiness, you can't, let me say this way, in this world, you can't have permanent happiness. In this world. Because this world is broken. Even if you're a good person, they are bad people. You know? Even you don't have total control over your circumstances. Sometimes you are doing all that is right, but something is not working. Yeah, like this morning that we came in, you know, and then the adapter to the keyboard refused to work. It wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It's just a broken world. Nothing is perfect. Nothing is permanent. So you can't have happiness permanently in this world. But you can have joy. Circumstances may change, but you can still have joy. Joy is a product of peace. And peace itself is a product of love. When your heart is full of love, you can have peace. Even in the midst of the storm. Amen. You know why? Because God is love. Amen. And when you are in the love of God, you have a strong connection with God. Yeah. And you know that God cannot fail. When you are resting in his love, you are leaning on his arms. Amen. The devil will try to shake you, but you know you are in the hands of the one who is unshakable. Amen. And when you rest in his love, you can have peace. And when you have peace in the midst of the storms, you can have joy. Amen. And the advantage of that is that you cannot take these spiritual weapons, love, joy, and peace, to begin to invade the darkness. Amen. Someone give you a slap. Oh. What are you going to do? You were minding your business. Where's the mic? You were minding your business. We're rounding up gradually. You're minding your business, being the perfect gentleman. And then, you know, you just ask someone, you know, like, can you just pay up? And they look at you and give you a dirty one. What are you going to do? Yes. Amen. Now, if you're going to act in the flesh, by instinct, by natural instinct in the flesh, you will, before they finish, you will give them a good measure. And as far as the flesh is concerned, that's very fair. As far as the flesh goes, that's very fair. You gave me one. We're just playing. But in the spirit, you can allow the love of God, the joy and the peace you have rise above it and not reply. Now, that doesn't make sense. But it will make sure that the darkness does not invade. Because that return can boomerang into something that someone will die. It happens on the road. We read it in the news, isn't it? Like road rage. You know, someone just reacts and kills someone. So the love, the joy, the peace is a spiritual weapon. Even in the midst of the storm, you receive a bad news. Maybe from your workplace or from the doctors. Yeah. But you understand that you are connected to the one that made you, that created you, that has your life and your future in his hands. You know, I always say that the devil may do his worst, but God can do better. Amen? God can start with you again from the scratch and take you beyond where you were before. And he can do it in the presence of your enemies. He said, prepare the table for me. Where? In the presence. You know, there are people in your life, they are naysayers. They tell you, it's not possible. You are finished. You are done. God can. God can raise you in the presence of your enemies. Hallelujah. Patience. And I like the final part of the journey. It says it's self-control. You know, like when you're really growing spiritually and you're walking in the spirit, where you want to land finally is self-control. Where you are not dominated by what is provoking you. Whether it's sickness or disease or it's people. You can laugh in their face and say, you know, I have the victory. Amen. I have what? The victory. And you're not going to pull me to your level. You're not going to pull me to your level of darkness and downness. I'm going to soar on the wings of the eagle. Do you know the animal that represents God in the Bible? God the Father. Which animal represents God in the Father? No, not Jesus. That's Jesus. Lion and lamb is Jesus. The dove, that's the Holy Spirit. Sorry? Lamb is Jesus. Jesus is the Lamb of God. I'm talking about God the Father. The dove represents the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Jesus like a dove. Yes? Which animal represents God the Father in the Bible? You know it. You know it. I can quote you some scriptures.
It's an eagle.
It's an eagle. Because Isaiah 40:31 says, those who wait upon the Lord, we what? They will mount up with wings like what? When you read the Israelites crossing the Red Sea, it said it led them on eagle's wings. The Father God is represented by the eagle. And you know the eagle, yeah? What happens, you know, when the eagle is facing a challenge or a storm? It's going to fly higher. It's going to rise above it. Above. You'll be soaring. You're not going to allow them to pull you down to their level. Amen? When somebody says it's all over, you're not going to allow your life to be pulled down to that level and you live in that cocoon of my life is shutting down. No. You're going to rise with the Father God on the wings of the eagle. Far above the storm, far above the naysayers, far above the opposition. Yeah? Far above. You're not going down. You're staying with him and he's lifting you higher and higher and higher. Amen? He's overcoming the darkness in your life. Say, I refuse to be dominated by darkness. I am a child of light. And the light dominates me. In this broken world, I live a victorious life through the light of Christ. Hallelujah. That's what you have in your spirit. And that's why you are called to be what? To be spiritual. It's a walk in the spirit. And you will not be dominated. Yeah? By the darkness that comes into your life through the flesh. Let's rise up and pray.